Is that game still around where you get a flower and you pick the petals off and it's he loves me or she loves me not?
Is it a game?
Yeah, it's you could think of it as a game because that's about what it is. Is that still around? Is people familiar with that?
Yeah, I know it, but yeah. It's a day thing.
I think you usually use a date or something like that, right?
You just pick a daisy and you just, it's just a thing. I don't like it.
That goes back a ways, Mom.
Yeah, it does. Okay. That's why I asked if it's still around. There's something special about that very last petal, though, isn't there? Mm-hmm. You can count all the way around, and it's like you're uncertain until that last petal. And that's supposed to be the truth of whether he or she loves me or not, just a game that we play. But there's something significant about that game and the fact that that last petal means something. The scripture tells us that Jesus Christ was the last Adam, the last man. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and end. And it tells us that he's the end. He has the last word, the last say. He is over everything. And his declaration, that last petal, as he gave his life for you and me, says, I love you. And that it was no game. That is the truth. So if you want to begin, turn with me to John 17. We'll begin there. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Sometimes we lose understanding what words are in the Bible. What does glorify mean? Well, you guys were doing it today as you sang, as you read scripture. As you told about testimonies, you're giving glory to what? God, who created you. That means you are giving him praise, and you're showing that strength comes from him, that he's awesome. That's what glory means. And here we see Jesus talking about the Father in heaven, saying that the hour is come. That means he's going to die. This is what I was born for. The hour is come. Here it is. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. And all through this particular chapter, you're going to see a great entanglement of the Father and the Son. It can't be separated. They are unique and distinct, yet they are so close that you can only describe them as one, together with the Holy Spirit, one God. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. You have given him power over all flesh. Jesus Christ has power over all flesh. That means the people in your family, that means everything. He has power over everything. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. We believe that there's power in the blood of Jesus. We don't pray with hopelessness, we pray with hope. Mindy was just sharing something. I was hoping she would share it this morning, wherever she is. She had great revelation just the past few days, something very significant. To pray with hope, to pray positively, to pray believing, not to pray defeat, to pray victory. So I was encouraged by that just this morning as she was sharing that at home privately. You have given him power over all flesh that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. We spend our lives doing this, pursuing after God and knowing him. Roger mentioned the 12 steps, and when you think of steps, you think of walking. That simply is a term for discipleship. You call it 12 steps or 1,200 steps. Each one of us is in a discipleship program. We're following Jesus. We tune our ears in to follow him. That's what discipleship is. It's steps. Steps. Don't try to rush steps. Don't try to get to the top of the stairs and think you're not a Christian because you're not like so-and-so. Take the step that God has for you to take next. That's the right step for you. follow him. I have glorified thee on earth, Jesus said. Boy, did he ever. Jesus did a great job glorifying the Father in everything that he did, from touching the leper, dividing the fishes and loaves, to walking on the ocean, pulling Peter up as he was drowning. He glorified the Father in heaven. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had before the world was. The poison in our culture today, that before the world was, there was nothing, and then it exploded and different things, and then everything came to be by natural processes. If you believe that, I've got a lot of fairy tales to tell you about pigs that fly and Goldilocks and the three bears and all kinds of stories to tell you. But they're teaching that fairy tale in schools to our kids today. So it's a serious thing to address that. Jesus Christ existed before anything was created. In fact, everything was created through him and for him, it says in John chapter 1. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest me, and they have kept thy word, speaking to his disciples, of his disciples. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Now they know that all the things what thou hast given me, what Jesus was given, the power to raise Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus, come forth. He's going to stink. He's decayed. His eyes are sunken in. People are saying, this guy's lost it. That power to raise the dead by the way which he did, Lazarus came forth to live a little bit longer. But that power that Jesus had, he has given to us. All things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out of thee, and they have believed that thou didst send in me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Special prayer for the disciples, those following him right now. These are the guys that are going to be going forward with a baton. The church will begin and be born shortly after his death and resurrection, called the Pentecost. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Again, entanglement verses, the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, speaking of his disciples, Peter and so on. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. The incredible oneness of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is a gift for you and me, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, people in our community. This unity, this power, is a gift to us. I don't know how to do this. Follow the steps. Follow the steps. Follow Jesus. He shows you how to love your wife. It was read today from Ephesians 5. Patty read it. He shows us the steps to take, and he gives us the power to do it. It's not instruction manual, and that's it. It's instruction manual with 10,000 pounds of TNT behind it, of power. Yeah. To do it, to walk each step. We're hurting birds. We're desperate. The heart is desperately wicked. Otherwise, he would just come down like Confucius, who didn't come down, but just shared wisdom to people. Or some other philosopher that had some wisdom, and people say, ooh, ah, that sounds good. Or the Dalai Lama, or those kind of guys that say bright things and intelligent things. No, we need a little more than a little bit of advice and some cool sayings. We needed power and healing. That's for you and me and everybody that you've ever seen and will ever meet in your life. They need a Savior. Desperately so. How desperate? Try going without food for a while. You see what desperation is. Try going without water for a while. You even see how sooner that desperation comes. Try going without air for a while, and you'll see how quick desperation comes. Multiply that by a million billion, and you see how desperate we are for a Savior.
Yeah.
We need a Savior, every single one of us. This is not a trivial matter, what we celebrate today. In the celebration of today, Resurrection Sunday, every Sunday, by the way, is Resurrection Sunday. That's why we gather on Sunday. It's an acknowledgement of that. But this one in particular, we recognize as that. We call it it. And a couple of things over the past few months have been developing along this thought in preparation for today. And the first event was my anniversary, which was coming up. As it was coming up in March, approaching April 1st, our anniversary date. Gretchen's boss asked her something and said, "Are you doing anything special, 30-year anniversary?" And she was like, I don't think so. She told me that, you know, that conversation took place. And it kind of stuck with me. It bothered me a little bit. It bothered me like this that I have to do something on this day, like the day itself is special or something. So I struggled with that. I went back and forth, probably thought too much about it. But when that day came on April 1st, my whole goal was to just spend time with her, and it didn't matter where we went. And we went random places. We ended up watching the sunset over Montezuma. Very romantic. If you do that, if you have an anniversary or something romantic to do or proposal, go to Montezuma about this time of year. The geese are pairing off. And it's almost like you could hear the Disney music playing in the background as these geese are kind of going their way two by two here and there. It's like, wow, we're the only ones in Montezuma. The sun is setting. God, you're awesome, because I had no clue what I was going to do today. But the thing was, the things I was wrestling with is like, is it more about how I look? Because I was offended what her boss and that interaction, how it went. Like, isn't he going to do something to take you to Acapulco in Hawaii or something like that? And, you know, and celebrate this big event. And so, and then, you know, the flesh got in the way, and I was like, yeah, I've got to. Because I don't want to look bad, I've got to make her day really special. That's still selfish. So I struggled with these things, and it was like, God, I just want to appreciate her and not have all the noise and nonsense going on. And so what we did was super simple. Another thing we did is went to a health food store and loaded up with junk food, which is really strange. And we ate that at Montezuma. We got ice cream and gluten-free cookies and stuff like that. But perhaps to the degree, it was the most special time for me anyway, this anniversary, because it was really appreciating her and who she is and what God has blessed. That changed everything. That was just a whole different perspective, and it has been in preparation for today, because someone else asked me about today. They said, "Are you going to do anything special for Easter, Resurrection Day?" It was asked Wednesday night this past week. He's not here right now. And I was taken back. Some of the guys saw me fluster and flutter a little bit. And I was like, "Well, it's always special." I said something like that. I can't remember exactly. But I was a little taken back again. Maybe I think about things too much. It almost felt like a trap, because if I say no, it would imply that the resurrection isn't special. And it is, of course, very special. An anniversary is very special. And if I said yes, it implies that the rest of the Sundays that we meet and the rest of the times, Monday, Tuesdays, and whenever we meet, Saturday nights, are less special. Like, how could God be less special on some other Sunday than he is on Resurrection Sunday? So are we celebrating some type of calendar thing or some type of tradition or some type of thing like that? Has it become that and how we look? And it's, oh, we did this on Easter, on Resurrection Day, and we check off the box and, hey, we covered our bases there. I covered my base with Gretchen. I did the things that, you know, make sure she had a great day and stuff like that. And I was like, hey, look at me. I want the Lord to know that he is special. And I just want to spend time with him. And that whether we meet here on a Monday morning at 4 a.m., it doesn't matter, that he is just as special. Yeah. I want the Lord to know that he is so special. Jesus says in verse 11 here, back to our reading, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. He knows he's going to not just die, but he's going to go forward. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as they are. As we were praying over James today, no different than Jesus was praying over his disciples, loving, caring words. We're to continue to do that. As hands went over James this morning, you could think of the exact same thing that happened 2,000 years ago. As we're reading today, Jesus is praying over James today, his body, his bride. We're the hands and feet here. No different. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast given me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, Judas, who betrayed him, that the scripture might be fulfilled. It was known ahead of time, even. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, his disciples are not, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, he emphasizes again. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Sanctify, another big word. That means separate Chris, separate Roger, separate Bud, separate Mr. Anthony. Separate them for a special purpose. Make them special for a special cause. That's what sanctify means. It means make something holy, in particular here. Set apart for God. Special, not common. Sanctify, make them special, set them apart. Through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. We're sanctified by the truth of God. Jesus, who is the truth, sanctifies himself there. Isn't that cool how that verse flows? I'm going to make them special with my word. It's happening today. You guys were sharing the word. I'm sharing the word. We're being set apart. We're being made special. We're being pulled away from what is common into something more of more significance, of grand significance, of eternal significance. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Why? Because he is the word. He doesn't need to go grab a Bible somewhere. He doesn't need to go hear a preacher. He is the word. John chapter 1 begins with that. The word was with God. The word is God. The process of his sanctification down here while he was man, God in the flesh. We saw that. We can go to a lot of places. We can look at the place where the devil tempted him. Isn't that a cool spot? Hungry man. Hungry. 40 days not eating, man. You could eat a pine tree. He put that thought in his mind. He didn't put a loaf of bread in front of him. Just put that thought, planted that thought in his head. Go ahead. call these stones to be bread, and if you are the Son of God, since you are the Son of God. Go ahead, relieve your pain. Jesus said, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, man shall not live by bread alone. He was sanctifying himself so that we could be sanctified and set apart and special. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Right in the central of what's behind me on the window there, it says Jesus is the way, the blank, and the life. What's right in the middle? What's right in the middle? The truth. Oh, I want to get life. I'm going for life, man. I'm going to get life. Man, you got to be centered on the truth. That's what's going to set your life apart to be special and have significance. I think I know the way. This is the way. This is the way. No, you got to be centered in the truth, and then you'll know the way. You've got to be set apart and sanctified by the truth. Jesus Christ was sanctified by the truth. He is the truth, and he's given that for you and me also to be sanctified and set apart. Just to flip a page over into chapter 18 there, Jesus exchanging words with Big Pilate. Probably had that brass armor on. He had a sword on his side and those cool sandal weird things that the Romans wore. Curious. His wife's had a dream about this guy. Something's going on. But yet he's filled with himself. He's filled with culture. He's filled with the world. He's a worldly man. Pilate entered the judgment hall. All rise! Verse 33 of chapter 18 says, and called Jesus, Jesus, to the witness stand or whatever. Are you the King of the Jews? He knew what the problem was, didn't he? Pilate knew a little bit of the truth here anyway. He knew why they were crucifying him. Not because of some blasphemy, not because of this or that or all the nonsense that goes on with these kind of things. He knew what was going on. Are you the King of the Jews? That's the real issue here. Jesus answered him. Real interesting the way he answers him. He recognized that Pilate had a little hold of something here. He said, did you think of this yourself, or did others tell this to you? Or did others tell it to thee of me? Pilate answered. He got a little bit offended, getting too close to the truth. Backed off a little bit, brushed his armor a little bit, shined his helmet a little bit. Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom, keeping on the same topic. Pilate had the truth in his hand that this was the King of the Jews. Keeping on the same topic. Look how it flows out here. Remember, we're being sanctified by this truth. It was speaking to Pilate. The truth is a person, that's Jesus Christ. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. He created this world, folks, but his kingdom is not of this world. This world has a purpose, and that purpose is going to be done with pretty soon. It's going to be rolled up like a scroll when God is done with it. Right now, it's a garden where you and me are growing in. We're going to bear fruit for God while we're down here on this earth. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight. That I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from here. Pilate therefore said unto him, are you a king then? Still holding on to this truth a little bit and trying to understand it a little bit, but yet not getting too close. After all, you're Mr. Shiny Armor. You're the guy in charge. You're the judge here. Are you a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. That's the Lord. That is the truth speaking. He sees right through. He knows our thoughts. He would be walking among people and he knew what they were thinking. Thou sayest that I am king. To this end I was born. For this reason I was born. And for this cause came I into this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Here's the invitation, Pilate. Here's the altar call. Pilate puts up shields. Shields up! He feels the draw. He feels the pull. The strength of truth. Can you imagine being in this vortex? There's Jesus Christ, the truth. He feels it. He feels the magnetic pull. He puts the shields up of flesh and pride. Stiff arm. What is truth? He says in verse 38, Pilate says. And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault at all. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? I find no fault at all. And he will take extreme measures. This Roman centurion, they were experts in finding the truth. I can find all the truth about Colby. I can find all the truth, even about Seth. Nice senior pictures, by the way. I was thinking of you when they were doing the hand signs up here. Because Seth used to do that. Sorry. Now he's big senior, big man on campus. God bless Seth. God bless Cheyenne. Graduating this week. Anybody else graduating? Not this week, this year. Amber's graduating. God bless them. Blessings over them. Thank you, Jesus. A little rabbit trail there. No pun intended. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I find no fault in him. At all. At all. They were experts. They would whip you, literally open you up and read you like a book. You would confess. Oh boy, would you? 13th lash. We used to do that. Maddie whipped me too hard one year, so we don't do it anymore. Was it the 14th lash or the 15th lash? Where would you break? Where would you give in all of your secrets? Tough guy. Where would it be? Well, Pilate knew it already, but he did it for the other people just to prove it. He went through the lashes, the cat of nine tails, little bits of glass impregnated his back. As it's pulled out, pieces of meat would come back with it, of the Lord's meat, and flying in the face of the Roman soldier. Grotesque, brutal, but it worked 100% of the time. And it would confirm what Pilate just said. I find no fault in him at all. In fact, what they would put, what he would put, what Pilate would put above the cross, here he is, in three different languages, just in case anybody misses it. It's true what he said. This is King of the Jews. Why is this all this going on? Why is Jesus going through all of this? What's happening? We've heard, we understand that man has come to this place where we needed this. We're coming to that place of understanding it. Well, let's look at it a little bit in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Folks, put this on your doorpost, put this on your Facebook post, put this everywhere. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. In the beginning, it was even the beginning of time, God created the heaven and earth. Chapter 1 continues through God's powerful creation, 6 days of creation. And in chapter 2 comes to the conclusion of it. The heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. In the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made and rested on that seventh day from all that which he had made. Chapter 3. Just giving you the high-speed version here. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field the Lord had made and said unto the woman, yes, has God said, has God said, has God said, has God said. What's going to set you apart? What's going to keep you safe and special in the kingdom of God and fruitful and productive and efficient? The truth. You are sanctified. You are set apart by the truth. what's being challenged right here in the very beginning? Truth. What God said. Did he say that? Did he mean it for you? More subtle than any beast of the field. It comes subtly, doesn't it? Sometimes you catch that little tongue action. Sometimes you don't know it. But you let that little snowball, that little thing, that little doubt, you let it to start rolling. You start feeding it. You start allowing it to roll downhill and it becomes this huge bomb. And you don't even know where it began. We know that's where man originally fell, is in the doubt of God's word. In doubting God's word. And that caused them to take the next step, which was to actually be disobedient. Let's head back to, well, let's stop at Isaiah 53 while we're on our way there. Back to John. Lord, we pray for the people in Sri Lanka this morning. Some bombings going on there, and Christians in particular being attacked. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the nation that we're in that allows us to have free speech, Lord God. And we pray for our brothers and sisters over there, those that are in pain right now, crying right now, Lord Jesus. We pray for miracles. We pray for comfort, Lord God. We pray that your gospel would even spread in exponentially now, Lord God. We know that persecution causes that. You can't put out the fire, God. We know that. We pray, though, for comfort right now for those that are hurting deeply. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Psalm 53. We have different battles here in our culture, and our struggles are real. But here we have Jesus prophesied for us. This is called the gospel, the fifth gospel. It's in the old covenant, but there it is. Isaiah 53. Who's believed our report? Who's believed? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him a tender plant as a root of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. Speaking of Jesus, this is a prophetic way. Speaking of this Lord that would be born in a manger, live a perfect life, die on the cross for you and me and be raised from the dead. This is speaking of him. There's no form or comeliness. He was not a rock star. He did not look beautiful. He looked like an ordinary fisherman, ordinary carpenter. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. There isn't that physical attraction. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I know that just blew somebody's mind out there that you have a picture of Jesus and looks like a California surfer. Might not be quite accurate. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. It was too much to look at. He was despised and we esteemed him not. It's hard when somebody's going through it. It's hard to see them esteemed, isn't it? It's hard to see that. We think we come in, hey, you know what? I've got it all going on. I'm Mr. Together here. You know, I'm sorry you're going through this, but hey, you know, let me help you out here. I'm Mr. Cool, got it together. No, man, you're in a situation that your life is coming apart and going in all sorts of directions. Mr. Cool gets on his knees and sees you as higher. That's what's got to happen. That's the Christian way. That's what the truth does. It sanctifies us to be able to live a different way. It changes everything. Now I see this person that's struggling. It's like, wow, man, you're in an awesome place. I know you're hurting, and I'm here to serve you. You lower yourself. You see them higher. That changes how you talk to them. It changes how you minister to them. It changes the outcome. Because you are sanctified by the truth. Anybody know Robert Beard? Yeah. His son's birthday today. His name is Corey. This Easter Sunday. And he put out a post. If I can get through reading it. If you were like me, you might have went. This was one of the kids of our town. You might have walked through the funeral home that day. Stunned as a lot of people were, his passing. Let me read his post. He's been a good friend to me, helping Simeon. So I love Robert a lot. And his struggle is so intense. You really have words that can help. Not a second of my life. All right, don't even get with your one sentence. Not a second of my life goes by without missing my friend, my best friend. Corey Beard is my son, and he's my best friend. None of that will ever change. Not even death can change the love we have for him or the impact he had on all of our lives. Corey's physical life here on earth ended on a day that we celebrate the life of the woman that gave us life, Mother's Day. So his life ended on Mother's Day. My wife, Corey's mother, his sister and his brother, and select friends and family members were there saying their see you later. Corey never said goodbye because goodbye is forever. He always said see you or bye or see you later because he knew we would see each other again. His passing on Mother's Day was part of God's plan. Yes, death is painful. You have no idea what pain is until you watch your wife cry uncontrollably. You have no idea what pain is until you have your hand on your loved one's chest, filling their heart one last time as the machine that sustained life is turned off. You have no idea what helplessness feels like when the only thing you can do is watch as the ones you swore to protect are hurting, and you can't protect or deflect the pain from them. An enemy that you can't pull off or throw to the ground and pummel it. A situation that you have no control over. When you leave your child's lifeless body on a bed and look back as you walk out of the room, you feel your world has come to an abrupt stop. At that moment, you know he is never physically walking through the front door to say, "Hi, Mom or Pops, no more I love you." No more phone calls saying goodnight or good morning. No more phone calls asking you questions. You know at that moment you will never get the phone call saying your grandson or granddaughter is on the way, get your butt to the hospital. Or his voice filled with excitement as he tells you, "She said yes." You only know the true pain if you were one of these three people. One, a parent that lost their son or daughter, or lost their soulmate. Two, honestly, you don't know what feeling all the pain above and feeling lost and abandoned, confused and hopeless until you see the life through a person of addiction's eyes. Three. The next 3 days are special. Today, over 2,000 years ago, a man willingly allowed all the pain that I just mentioned to be inflicted on him. He allowed this so the pain we experience will be temporary. This man spared us from eternal suffering. His suffering, his blood spared us from being separate from love, spared us from being condemned for eternity. His pain gave us hope. It's through his pain we have true life. Folks, what I'm reading today is water coming from a rock. It's water that's flowing from a rock, a hard place. This doesn't happen outside of the miraculous. This doesn't happen. It's through his pain we have true life. It's through the hate he took on that we may experience true love. It's through the spikes driven through his hands and feet that nailed our past, our shortfalls, our mistakes, and our hate on a wooden cross. All the pain and hate I feel now, this man, Jesus, allowed people to beat, whip, spit, drag, and nail him to a tree, so that I wouldn't have to go to a place and carry this pain, feel hopeless, and be separated from our Heavenly Father forever. Sunday is Easter, one of the most important days of our life. We celebrate the day Jesus rose from the dead. This is part of God's plan and is complete. Through his son's death, we have life. Sunday is Corey Beard's birthday. For me, it's special. Jesus, Son of Man, rose from the dead. He beat death. That means eternal life. My son's birthday is celebrated with his physical birth in our eternal life. For all of you that's fighting addiction, there is hope in the blood that dripped from a man that knew you before your parents were even conceived. Don't give up. Don't give in to the lies in this world that your addiction tells you. For the ones in active recovery, celebrate life through the same blood that delivered you from death. Draw strength from the weakness Jesus received from the ones that nailed him to the cross. Remember, our weakness shows Jesus' strength. The weakness that hammered those spikes in Jesus belonged to you and me. Don't give up. Every swing of the hammer made Jesus scream in pain, but he never gave up. He allowed it because it gave you and me hope, just like your fight gives the person an addiction hope. You see, death brings life. My son and all the ones that fell because of this epidemic helped the light shine on something that grew in the dark. It's because of their death, you're growing life. You may not know it or accept it. Your recovery is proof you're part of God's plan. If you ask me how, it's not me you should ask, but you're still here. God said, what's done in the dark will be exposed in the light. This epidemic is proof of that. Because of the blood that spilled 2,000 years ago by a man that knew the pain myself, family and so many others would be suffering, will only last for a season and not eternity. I miss my son and my best friend, and every time I hear Blue October song, I struggle. I don't know what that is. I have turned wrenches for over 30 years. He's been a mechanic his whole life. I know I have hardware in my aching body because my life for turning wrenches. I no longer have that desire I once had. I find it hard now to take interest in anything. I even question why I'm here. The only certainty I have now is the love of Jesus has for me. And the fact that one day my entire family will be together, pain-free forever. The parents that have lost a child, take comfort knowing you will be together again. Take comfort. They're now in a place with no more suffering. Their war has come to an end, and they're victorious. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Without you, this pain would be eternity. It's only because of you I'm someone. Happy birthday, Corey Beard. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Don't turn your faces away because you don't understand. Don't turn your faces away because of anger. Don't turn your faces away because it didn't work out the way you thought it would. Peter would turn his face. The disciples would scatter because this wasn't working out according to Disney. It wasn't working out according to how things should work, the quote unquote. They turned their faces. God calls us to embrace and to esteem. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Ever spank a child, and then they go through the crying period, and then there's what? There's this peace. The war's over. The stubbornness and the stamping and the spanking happened and the crying and all of this happened. What a fantastic thing to think of that this, what was done to Jesus, all of this that was done to him was for our peace. To bring us that the war is over. The rebellion against God has been defeated. There's peace now. That's the lowest hanging fruit in the kingdom of God. That's the one that bonks you on the head when you say, Jesus, I believe in you and I give my life to you. I thank you for dying on the cross. The fruit that bonks you on the head, the lowest lying fruit, is the peace of God. The war is over. He will show you how to get other fruit that is more challenging. How to love unconditionally. How to suffer long in situations. That comes with discipleship. And being sanctified and set apart by his truth. I think that's a good place to end. I was actually going to go to the resurrection morning. But I heard it shared today already. I think that's enough for today. Well, if you're able to, we'll sing a song. Help Gretchen out.